big.
Will you, do you need to change location? Will you be all right?
I'm going to give it a go. If I scream, that means I'm giving up and I'm going in. And you might have to man for about a minute or two before I. They are massive. For some reason, they like the phone. I've already, like I showed you before we came on there.
Oh yeah, you've already squished it.
It's a big. Anyway, we're going to give this a go.
I'm enjoying the fact that we have now revealed to everyone that your safe word is ah. I am Ross. Joining me is my co-host Ian, and where one of us is freshly back from a vacation over to old country, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. I forgot to say that immediately. Welcome back. Welcome home. I'm so happy that it went better. This smooth.
Yeah.
That's smooth. It was a smooth return.
This was the first time in four summers that I literally got on the plane when I was intending to without any hiccups whatsoever.
Anyone
in the right country, the right time.
Anyone roughing you up, learning your secret identity.
Yeah, it was real easy this time. It was great.
That's good. And you were mostly in Scotland, or did you get to England? You were visiting your brother.
Oh, no, I spent 3 days in Lincolnshire. And then I went to, I beg your pardon. Yeah, it was 3 days in Lincolnshire. Then I went to Yorkshire for a couple of nights, which is still in England. You might be. And then we drove to Dumfries, which you would be slightly familiar with, not too far from Ayrshire, where you were, that kind of eastern side.
I am familiar with a number of these places that you're describing.
Yeah.
The one my whole family lives in, especially.
We were there for a night, and then I hopped across the Irish Sea to visit my sister for 3 days in Belfast, 3 nights, and then on a plane to Edinburgh in Bonnie, Scotland again. Mm-hmm. Spent 4 nights there and then traveled down on the train to London, spent a night there. And then I watched your wonderful podcast with James, which was very, very, very much fun. Sort of thing. That at least it killed an hour of my 16-hour layover in Heathrow Airport.
I mean, so. You only had to ask. You know that I can be live for 24 straight hours, so I probably could have done a 16-hour beer show. You never know. Maybe that'll be our celebration of our 300th week. It'll be a century club, a three-century club. 3 hours, 300 shots.
I like it. That's in keeping with your slippity-slip thing that you do for 24 or 48 or 92 hours, what the hell you do.
Spickety-span.
So anyway, I'm back.
I do try to borrow.
I'm looking forward to it.
And so we looked at what we had. We haven't really been shopping all that much. And you're going to have to describe some of the beers that you had, because I was certainly jealous as what I got into over here, where there was a lot of IPAs, you'd be surprised to hear, that were available and new, and the wife wanted to try some sours. So we had sours and IPAs and double IPAs, and I've been enjoying a few of those. But
I did watch you and your good lady that podcast, and that was in the airport as well, so I saved them up. Watched them to give me something to do. I was concentrating, like you, on IPAs, because obviously our newfound devotion to the IPA breed meant that was my beer of choice. I told my brother before I went over there that he was going to have to introduce me to some good brews that he knew.
Because you've admitted that he is an IPA chap. He is his bread and butter.
He, unlike us, is more a devotee of a traditional hoppy kind of smash your head open kind of.
He might really like those West Coast ones that we.
Yeah.
Don't
well, a bit more in keeping with those. Obviously, the West Coast ones are slightly different, again, from traditional sort of British stroke Indian IPAs that sprung up. But they're more hoppy. Yeah, he's more of a fan of the hops than I am. But, I mean, so I did, whenever I rocked up at a local drinking the stab, I did gravitate towards the IPAs, of course, because I thought, why not? I'm really getting into this idea now. That's not to say I didn't have some darker ales. I did. But it really was horses for courses. Whatever there was there, I thought, I'm going to have a pint of that. Nothing blew me away, to be honest, Ross. I didn't leave there thinking, oh my God, this is the greatest beer I've ever tasted. There was some are better than others. Yeah. Rather like it.
I think the question that I am the most curious about was there any, and I want to say beer in particular, or style, that you said, oh, I'll have that. I think I know that style. And then it arrived and you drank it and you said, that's not the way it is in Canada.
No, I did have some hazier and juicier ones. Some were nice and fruity, like I really like here.
Okay.
Others were more in keeping with what we don't particularly go for. Mm. So, no, there was a fair smattering right across the board. Some are better than others. Exactly like it is here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, speaking of IPAs, tonight we're drinking cream ales. We just decided there's a bunch of cream ales up there, and we have this conversation all the time that pretty much begins with, whenever you see something that says, oh, cream ale, or you talk to someone and they say, oh, I really love a cream ale, and I always say, what is a cream ale? What is it? And as far as I can mostly tell from people who really love them, it's like, I don't know if it's, is it more drab or less drab than a lager, where a lager is just sort of, beer, and it's, but a cream ale seems to be that, like an inoffensive lager. Is that the theory that we're going for here?
I don't know who, when you said you were asking friends that really like a cream ale, I wonder what kind of people they are. Because
boring people.
Kind of what I was assuming about cream. If you're a devotee of a cream ale, I don't want to cast any aspersions here, but you're kind of a bit of a Clive. I think you might be a sort of, your name might be Colin Nigel.
Tonight, yeah, I'm going to make my favourite snack. I'm going to have white breaded toast with some margarine on it that's 50% sodium reduced. That's my snack while I sit and watch episodes of Miss Marple Mysteries.
Yeah. And he takes his dog for an afternoon walk. It's going to be a black lab because it's going to be something very safe, you know, not like an American pit bull or something. He's going to have a really safe dog.
Yep.
And he's going to go for an afternoon stroll to the local drinking establishment. And he's going to walk. He's going to say, "Oh, stout yeoman, can I have a pint? Oh, no, not a pint. That would be crazy. I'll have half a pint of your best cream ale, please. I don't want to go mad.
350 milliliters, please."
Exactly, precisely. They're just a bit boring. They're not quite as they are crisp and they are clean like a lager. They're still bottom fermented, aren't they? But they still have slightly more of a they might have some of the top fermenting esters that the lagers don't have. So they're more like an ale-y lager, but they're still not, they're neither one thing nor another. They're not like hoppy and they're not malty. They're just kind of, here's beer. It's a bit bland. It's not exciting. But of course, craft brewers are doing that thing now when they're saying, yeah, we kind of recognize that American cream ales are a bit nondescript and a bit characterless. So they're trying to make them more exciting. And I'm really excited about Horton Ridges because it says honey.
It says honey. So much. I'm so glad you noted that as well. Because I'm the same way. With a cream ale, much like a Pilsner, or I can't think of another one, where the description, there's not a lot of room for experimentation. No. Whereas we get a porter and you get things like, oh, this one's a peanut butter porter. Here's a stout. And what's next to it? This is a coffee stout. This is a chocolate stout. This is a double chocolate. There's no double chocolate cream ale. There's, it's not a thing. So this is the first one that even attempts to have some sort of additional non-cream ale flavor to it. So we have to get into these. So first of all, weighing in at the lowest ABV is 4.5%. ABV is the Après, even though there's no accent above the E, the Après cream ale from Tatamagouche Brewing Company up there in Tatamagouche itself. I almost drank this because these are 355 milliliters, so you get it in the full case of 12. I almost drank this for the 200th, for the Century Cub Challenge.
Because
I opened one, and I thought it was tasty, and I really liked it. And I said, I could drink 100 shots of this. I could definitely do it. But that 4.5 made me feel like I was...
wimping.
Just a little bit. Only slightly. Mm. Not to say this is a wimpy beer. So, I have had this. It has been a little while. But over on the tatabrew.com description for it, Après Cream Ale is ready to hit the trails in winter, spring, summer, and fall. At just that's all of the seasons. It's ready year round. At just 4.5% ABV, this light-bodied cream ale is low in bitterness, with a crisp, clean finish and a touch of malt sweetness. Subtle notes of biscuit and honey make it a refreshing reward after any adventure.
Biscuit and honey. So there we go.
It's a bit of a bready, you know, a bready smell off the top of it as I crack the can. Okay. It's it's adventurous. So it's a guy on a BMX bike and he's leaping over some mountains.
That's because they're trying to make it look exciting. Now all the big smashy IPAs are all called something really exciting. You know, like the Storm, the
Storm Chaser.
That's right, or the Skull Splitter, all that kind of really exciting stuff that IPAs do. And then the big malty stouts and porters, they're all called something equally exciting but old. They're always called, like, you know, Old John's
the Anvil,
the big nutball,
the smoky trousered blacksmith.
Absolutely. I want two pints of that, but the cream ales, because they're kind of dull and boring, they're going to call themselves really bland names. But there's a guy on a looking really exciting on the front, doing something really wild.
I suppose so. And also, at 4.5%, I think they're saying drink this and refresh yourself, or drink this and be out and exciting. So this is your halfway kind of beer when you're out trail riding in the woods, which you can get away and do. So light bodied, low in bitterness, touch of malt sweetness. So I did mention to you a little bit of this one. So we did look it up. The beerawardsplatform.com, specifically for the Canadian Brewing Awards 2025. The American style cream ale. It should be straw to gold in color. Yep, fine. Clarity. Chill haze should be very low or not present. So it's pretty invisible. Now, the dominant flavor is of pale malt sweetness at medium low to medium levels. So the dominant flavor is medium low. So this should not have flavor. This is like maybe it's really difficult to concoct something flavorless. I've done it. I cook, and sometimes I make dinner, and dinner has no flavor whatsoever, and I feel embarrassed because it just tastes like the inside of the pasta box, and that's as good as it's gonna get. It just feels.
You mentioned Brady. It said it was a bit biscuity and honey. I'm getting a tiny bit of wheatness from it, rice or wheat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
From it, honey. No, I'm not smelling honey.
Subtle notes. So everything is low in bitterness. Subtle notes of this. A little bit of malt sweetness. Maybe sort of, kind of a little bit. A crisp, clean finish. So no bitterness in the back end, because that would be flavor. So this is...
You don't need that in beer. You don't need flavor in beer.
And I think getting through this, you will understand what I mean when I tried this a little while ago, and I thought to myself, I could have 100 shots of this pretty easy. Cheers.
Uh-huh. Cheers. There is a tiny little sweetness to it.
Ooh. There is a bit of honey.
Yeah.
I'm getting it.
There is.
Wow. Oh, well done. Okay.
I'm surprised.
It is subtle. It's obviously not the flavor, but it... I have had cream ales, and the cream ales sometimes come out too bitter, and I don't like that. What I think a cream ale should be is a lager without that lageriness to it.
Yes, it's more like it's more ale-y than a lager, but it's still fermented the same way. Excuse me, but slightly warmer temperatures, didn't they? That's why they give it that you get a tiny bit of this, tiny little bits of fruit, fruity ester, possibly. It's got the sweetness of of, and you're saying it's honey, so that's probably what's giving it the tiny bit of sweetness. I prefer this to, and like you say, it's easy. It is easy to drink. I mean, regardless of its alcoholic content, it's easier to drink. It's not going to make me all gassy and burpy like your full on lager would do. So it's easier to drink. It's much smoother.
You're right, because there was a bit of head on it, but look at the there's no bubbles. There's no carbonation going on in it after the fact.
I can see very, very tiny bubbles. It's still happening, but not like those mass produced, very popular lagers that just don't do anything for me. They're also flavorless, by the way. This has got more flavor than that, for sure. It's got something in it. Yeah, I can see why you would say that you were contemplating doing that, because this is really easy to drink, isn't it?
Like, I tried very hard not to finish the entire can in that first drink, because I forgot that there wasn't any more halfway through, and I thought, I better not finish this off right now.
Tiny. So you're going to have to really consider leaving yourself a couple of fingers of this, because if we're doing three, I think you want to definitely go back.
I definitely do. Yeah, I definitely want to compare. But that one is, that's a good start. That's a tasty beer. I mean, oh my goodness, is this trying to phone me again? Go away. Stop calling me.
When you say tasty, when you mean tasty, it's got some flavor to it. But it's not, it's very subtle. It just, dare I say it, if you had that in a glass, and you were blindfold, you would say, yes, that is beer. But it's not. There's nothing that's standing out to say it's this kind of beer. Oh, my God, it's got this in it. It's got that in it. It just tastes like a pretty formulaic beer with a slight sweetness to it.
But like,
it's easy to do.
The more I read about what a cream ale should be, I think this is what I'm... I want something that's going to be easy, smooth, no bitterness, no complications, nothing. Just a nice... kind of a slightly sweetened, pale ale-y kind of situation going on. Because oftentimes I get a cream ale and it tastes like it's gone bad. It's one of those gone bad lager kind of flavors to it. So I don't like all of them. But I'm hoping that this will solidify that my personal expectations of things are correct. That I should be expecting an easy gold, I don't know how else to describe a golden taste, but it's got that little hint of honey in there, light bodied, really smooth at the back end, and just landing happily. I do like that.
There's no aftertaste. There's a slight, yeah, it's almost like I've got a smooth shandy. As it's got that kind of feel to it, and it's really refreshing. I wish I'd actually taken it out of the fridge a little later than I did. As soon as I got in from work, I took all three of these out. Oh. But of course, I'm sitting out here now, and it's like still about 26 degrees, and they're warming up really quickly. I would like to be drinking this a little colder, actually.
No, you're probably right. I want to call it dangerous lawn mowing beer, because I wouldn't notice. I would finish one and then think I was still thirsty and had have another. And by the time I'd had four in the middle of mowing the lawn, I'd probably not be ready to continue mowing the lawn. But there is a reason I bought a case of 12, made sure I had one for you and one for me. And guess where the other 10 are? I drank them. I drank them quite happily, because I feel like this is my benchmark. This is what I think a cream ale should be, what I think. And according to what I'm seeing in the Canadian Beer Awards, I think it would do all right.
I like it.
Just because the description is all the flavors shouldn't be there. And yeah.
That's right.
They're not.
Everything that shouldn't be there isn't there.
Exactly.
And everything, yeah. So it's doing exactly what it says on the tin. There's a slight sweetness to it. It says honey. I'm getting some sweetness. I wouldn't pick it as being honey, but at least there's something going on there. It's definitely not malty. It's definitely a lagery ale for sure. And it's just perfectly fine. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exciting, but it's perfectly fine.
Yep.
On a warm day. Yeah.
I will just happily give it that towards the high eights. High eights, low nines. Someone in there, I think.
Cream ale. Do Are we gonna you're gonna nail that on as a cream ale, a really high mark for a cream ale?
Oh yes, oh yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It was, of my favorite beers I've ever had, I would probably even put that in the high sevens.
And you considered using it as your 100 shot challenge?
I feel like that really? I could drink 100 shots of this easily and feel okay. I feel like that's pretty high praise.
I could as well. We should give that a go. Let's do it tomorrow. Right. It means, there's another one here. I give that 8 out of 10.
Yeah, okay. We do have a next one. The problem with the next one is we don't have a description for it because there's nothing on the can. This is the Horton Ridge. Says Horton Honey Cream Ale. There's a description on the back, but it does just talk about what the Horton Ridge Brewing, Farming and Brewing, Farmer's Grain, Brewer's Malt, blah, blah, blah. That's how we roll. Horton Ridge Malt and Grain Company. This one wasn't listed on the Horton... Horton Ridge Malt Company website. And so I did find a little bit, not really all that much, over on Untappd either, just saying, enjoying this very light, little character, not what I expected, bits and bobs, things like that. But that's kind of what we're getting from the descriptions. We may lean heavily on what this would be judged as at the Canadian Beer Awards. But at the same time, I and you seem to be rather excited about the word honey.
Honey.
Ooh.
I okay. am. This again, isn't just saying subtle notes of it like the other one in the description. This is actually calling it the Horton Honey.
Mm.
I'm expecting there to be a real... I'm expecting to get honey from this.
Yeah.
If I don't, I'm like... Nah.
Yeah, why would you put the word honey in there?
Right.
Oh, this has got way more carbonation than the other one. Look at that fizz. Or maybe it's because I put it in the tulipy glass. But it's got a little bit of haze to it. Smelled kind of biscuity to me.
Can I say right off the bat that it doesn't smell dissimilar to the one we've just had?
Nope, it does not.
It doesn't. Right. So therefore, if this one is the honey and the other one said it was notes of honey, we might be drinking something extremely similar here.
Well, on the...
We'll see.
Additional notes. These crisp and refreshing beers are fermented warm with ale or lager yeast and lagered cold. That doesn't say honey levels anywhere. Attributes typical of corn, rice, or other malt substitutes, adjuncts may be present at low levels. So,
did you say it was fermented warm?
Fermentation characteristics. Additional notes. These crisp and refreshing beers are fermented warm with ale or lager yeast and lagered cold.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so you lager or something. Anyway. It's a little darker in color. It's a little bit more orangey. Oh, yeah.
It's a little hazier. That's true. It doesn't seem as filtered, and I'm perfectly fine with that. We both are. In fact, there's a little bit of good old-fashioned muck going in there.
Oh, muck fell into mine, and I got excited.
Yeah, me too. Do you have Alka-Seltzer or the equivalent of here? I can't remember now. That indigestion thing when you go plink plink fizz, and it immediately all bits of this white disc break up as it's fizzing and effervescing and the. It's for indigestion and things like that.
Yes.
Do you not have something?
Yeah.
Well, that's what that looked like to me because it was really fizzing. There were unfiltered bits, unfermented bits that were just kind of still fizzing as I'm throwing them in there. They are sea monkeys. They are our fizzy feet sea monkeys. Look at the difference. Right. That's quite different.
It is quite a bit darker. That is true.
Yeah.
But. I think, any sort of lager smell I was getting off of that, the smell is dissipating. It's relaxing itself into more bready, malty thing. All right. Mm. All set. Charles.
All set. Honey, 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 come on. Hit me. There is some sweetness there. Kiss me, honey, honey, kiss me. Thrill me, honey, honey, thrill me. It's not thrilling or kissing me. There is a tiny sweetness, but again, I'm not saying it's... I'm not getting...
Mm.
Is it... I'm searching, Ross. I'm searching.
It's not a lot going on in there, and it again is a little boring.
Yeah, it's more boring than the last one.
Yes,
I have to.
Just a bit. That's a shame. Just a touch.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh,
it's fine. Oh. It's a little ow. Is there a little bit of a?
Yes. I did get the honey there the second time around. Maybe the further I get down the. My God, these little cans don't last long, do they?
No, they don't. It's so funny because the difference between 355 milliliters and 475 milliliters is
shouldn't be that much, but it is.
What, like a quarter? Maybe you're losing a quarter of a tall can.
This looks like it has the look and a visual appeal of some of those big hazy juicy IPAs that we like.
It's got so much potential personality going on in there, and yet,
it's 5%. I mean, it's not lacking a pair of balls.
No,
it's going to knock you over if you drink four or five of them.
I'm getting
Are you getting a hint of honey?
I'm honestly getting a little bit more of a hint of like a salty taste.
Salty.
Yeah.
That's not something you want from your beer.
Well, certain beers. I have had salty beers before.
Oh, okay. Oh, would that be the oyster stout or some of those lobster things or something? Because it's got crustaceans in it. Or something.
Like a goes or the ones that often have. I had the crustacean one that was very salty for some reason.
Yeah.
Hotty sodium could be something in the water tables. Well, whatever. I don't know. It was. It's fine. It's easy. You get through it, but it's and honestly, it seems a bit dark. Even though this is like a very light orange, but. It's maybe too hazy, too dark for a cream ale to me.
I was understanding that cream ales were more in keeping with the clearness of the lagers. Mm. This is a craft brewing take on it. So I like it that if they're going to do something, they can do different things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to. Yeah, you don't have to stick. Limb for limb, do you, to exactly what the description says? Yeah, and I like it. Otherwise, everything would be so boring. And it's a cream ale, so it's already halfway there. At least they're trying something a bit different. It's okay.
I think I'm a little lower down on this one. Not much lower. I think I'm into the high sevens. High sevens, low eight for this one.
I think if ever there was a description reserved for cream ales, okay would be it.
Mm.
This really just like, meh.
See, I feel like that's what we're doing. We're judging kind of, these are meh.
I know. It's one is slightly less meh or okay than the other one.
Which of these vanilla wafers is your favorite?
Yeah. Yeah, which cup of water is do you prefer?
Room temperature water.
It's okay. And those people, of course, are coming back to it when they say, oh, I really love a cream ale. This is just clarifying exactly why. Maybe they don't really get off on flavor. And
I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Don't give me anything with too much personality. My mouth couldn't handle it.
That's right.
Spitting out French vanilla ice cream because there's too much pizzazz.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I think so too. I think this is a 7 for me. A 7.
It's fine. It's drinkable, and it's supposed to be, I don't want to say bland, but it's supposed to be low low in flavor across the board. It's not supposed to be, you know, low in flavor in these things and then wham, huge up with the musky and robust coffee and smoke flavors. Nope. low. Everything is supposed to be low.
What I will say about both of them are very smooth.
Oh, yes. Very easy to drink.
Now, I know that cream ale does not mean it's full of cream. This has not got any dairy in it. But they are smoother and creamier than your average lager or Kolsch or any of that ilk that kind of blur the lines. These are both, and especially this one, especially the second one, this is extremely smooth.
They've just got a little bit more body to them, I guess. Just a squeeze. Drinking lagers tonight.
Yeah, I'm not getting bloated. I'm not burping. Gaseous. Therefore, both of these would be good 100 shot challenge beers. And this one is a 5, Ross. So if you wanted to, you could say, "Horn, honey, bring it on."
I'd need to go and get 12 of them. They'd probably sell me 12. I'm sure they'd do their best. I don't think they have like a big case, but you can buy them in packs of 6 with a little can aficionado. Which brings us to our only 473 milliliter can tonight. As a 5.4% from the Heritage Brewing Company is the Kilometer Zero. I left off the zero in my writing of it previously. So the Kilometer Zero, not the Kilometer Cream Ale, but the Kilometer Zero. And the reason for that is written all over the can and the website. Ahem, Heritage Brewing out of Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, and that's where Yarmouth finds itself at the KM0 mark of both the 101 and 103 provincial highways. We pride ourselves in being both a starting point and end point for travel. KM0 Cream Ale is a light, refreshing, and totally crushable beer at any time of the year. Here is what it says on the website. Named after Yarmouth's location on both Highway 101 and 103, this beer is refreshing and easy to drink. Now, here's the very important paragraph. I like this. Neither the malts or hops stand out. This beer is balanced, clean, and refreshing on a hot summer afternoon, or a great choice for a session lasting late into the evening. If you enjoy well-crafted local beer, but heavily hopped or big flavor beers aren't for you, give this a try. So if big over-the-top flavors aren't your thing, Clive, come on in.
Nigel.
Yep.
Stuart.
We've
Kevin.
Got you.
Colin.
We've absolutely got
you. It's basically saying exactly what we already kind of deducing here, that you're not getting much of anything. You're not getting anything that would nail you to being a IPA or a hop fan. And the same with the stouts. Now, of course, you and I, we were until fairly recently all about the malty stuff, and we liked the big boozy numbers too of the big malty stuff. We weren't particularly fans of the hops, but now we are. We want something to be either one thing or another. I hope I'm not speaking for you here, but I do believe that you do feel somewhat similar to me in that vein, that you would still want something to have some kind of profile. You still want it to have a character, a personality of its own. And cream ales are definitely not our drinks.
No, I fully agree. No. You have hold my pigeon.
Right, I've hold your pigeon. Good, but having said that, They weren't the worst examples of cream ales, were they? Because I've had cream ales before, and I'm thinking to myself, there is no flavor to this whatsoever.
Mm.
This is just so boring. At least these have got something going on.
Have you ever had just mineral water or just club soda? You know, it's just that, and you're just drinking sparkling water, and there's nothing else to it. It's just water and carbon dioxide, and that's it.
Petillon. Yeah, absolutely. I like it.
I don't. I hate that flavor. I don't like what's going on. It's an uncomfortable. Okay. It's not just an uncomfortable feeling because it's fizzy, but the flavor of it is. Oh, So I don't even like that. So this is at least, this is a step up. It may be boring, but it's not mineral. It's not Perrier. It's not, you know, club soda. It's not, what's the other one? It's, there's club soda. Oh, Schweppes has got both. There's, is it?
Cream soda.
No, I think cream soda is different. What, club soda versus sparkling water? So, club soda and sparkling water are both carbonated, but club soda contains added minerals, while sparkling water may not have added. So, you know, so club soda, they've sprinkled up some gravel or something in there. I'm not quite sure. Sparkling water can be naturally or artificially carbonated, and often has a cleaner, more neutral taste. But club soda adds sodium bicarbonate and potassium sulfate. Get that out of my water. What are we talking about here?
Really?
I'm not drinking potassium sulfate.
Isn't that funny though? Because I always find that sparkling water, even though, like you just told me there, it's literally water with some carbon dioxide go through.
Ew.
For some reason, I think it still has some kind of a flavor. Yet water, still water, doesn't. Mm. So maybe my imagination. Maybe I'm assuming, or maybe my flavor is just playing tricks on me. Because it's got some bubbles going down, it thinks something is in there, like, dare I say it, one of those really subtly flavored bubbly bubble. What are they called? Bubbly.
Bubbly. Right? Yeah. Or it's probably called bubbly. I'm not sure what everyone calls it a bubbly because it's based on, the guy Otis Redding.
Neil Diamond.
That's one of those. That's the guy.
Oh, cool.
Oh yeah, I've already poured. Sorry about that. The it's fizzing a little. It's very clear. The Kilometre cream ale is very, very clear, very, very filtered. It's slowly fizzing a little bit. It was really easy to pour. It had a little bit of head on it, and I just kept pouring, and the head just stayed the same, filled up to the glass, and I filled the glass. So all 16 ounces of the 473 milliliters, however, that one works out. I will have another peek at the can because it is quite nice with the Heritage logo. And, of course, the lovely stormy backgrounds they've got down there at Heritage behind the lighthouse and the beer logo. But it is a map of Nova Scotia. And then the zero is right there at Yarmouth. And it's got 100 kilometers out on both ends. Couldn't actually tell you where either of those are. That's like, I don't know, Clare? Along the valley there, or Weymouth, and then, no, that's just past Digby, isn't it? Because that's the bottom part of Digby Neck. And then the Southern Hundred, would that be Shelburne? Now I've got to look this up. Let's check all of our...
You were a native.
Nova Scotia. I try to be a native. There's only a few places that I have not actually been to. I was slightly close with Weymouth. It's more like Brighton.
Liverpool? Brighton. There's a Brighton down there.
The Brighton is at the top, is the top one. It's up there by Digby. It's part of, you know, the inside of St. Mary's Bay there. But the lower one looks like it is nearly Shelburne. Oh no, wait. Yes. I think Shelburne. So I was right about because I think I said Shelburne. Liverpool is God, where's Liverpool? Is it further along?
Probably is further along the coast, and then Chester.
There's
and,
Liverpool. Oh my goodness, Liverpool is so much closer than I thought. Why did I think that Liverpool was further than Shelburne? I always get those mixed up. So Boxing Rockets in Shelburne, and then of course you've got your Hell Bay out there in Liverpool, and along in Bridgewater. Who's in Bridgewater right now? That's Saltbox. No, Saltbox is... Yeah, Saltbox is Bridgewater, Lunenburg. Firkenstein has gone under, so they're not there anymore. And then Mahone Bay is also Tanner and Company. Try to see... My Nova Scotia geography is limited to breweries. That's where I know where everything is.
Although these past 5 years, you've just been driving around... identifying towns and saying, do we have any pubs in there?
Do you have a brewery? Just, you know, let me know. Tell me what's up. Is yours poured? Are we all set for the Kilometre Cream Ale? Kilometre Zero, sorry.
Can you see this? Ooh. I'm going to move this camera. Look at the top of my Après Cream Ale can.
Of the Après? Holy cow. Are those fruit flies?
I I'm hoping they are, because they do look a bit like black flies. But if they're fruit flies, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
They're all over the can.
The fruit flies have attempted to infiltrate my house. I'm trying to keep them at bay. The fight begins now, and I think we're here until Halloween, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we are. We're there. The difference of the color, again, is marked, isn't it? Is it not? All three are completely different colors.
They are. They're very different. And the smell is...
This actually looks like, and the other two, of course, they both mentioned honey. This looks like a jar of honey. Look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Bit clear, very golden, very, very deep blue. Yellowy, golden, beautiful. Anyway.
Yeah. It looks fine. Cheers. Smell floral. Mmm.
I'm not sure I got floral off that, but ooh,
so different.
Oh, that is a biscuit ale. Oh, a sweet malt. Oh my goodness, Kilometer Zero. That's my favorite one, but you know what? The problem is it's got flavor.
That's got flavor. I was about to say, this one has flavor, an abundance of flavor.
So it's not going to win the Canadian Brewing Awards, because Nigel, Clive, and Simon are going to spit that one right up. What is this? Who has brought flavor to our competition? You at the back, wearing the interesting hat. Out! they're just going to kick him right out of the convention center, right then and there, for daring to bring flavor to the competition, to our cream ale. This is the traditional cream ale competition, sir. We'll thank you to take your flavor with you and leave. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
This has got so much flavor.
Oh, this is so tasty.
What is it again?
Oh, it's
what do they say?
And 5.4, and it does say totally crushable. Okay, but there was more on the website. Let me give you that one.
Totally crushable? I'm not sure about that, to be honest.
Neither the malt or hops stand out.
True.
I don't know. I think the malt hand stands out for me. This beer is balanced, clean, and refreshing. If you enjoy well-crafted local beer but heavily hopped or big flavor beers aren't for you, give this a try.
I'm sorry, it is full of flavor. It's sweet, so therefore, if anything is winning out, the malt is winning out over the hops. But it is very... I mean, I don't think it's crushable, Ross. I think this is a little sweeter than I would want a beer to be. If I was going to sit there and drink a whole, like, six cans of it, this might be a little... too sweet for my palate. I might get a bit cloying. This is surprising.
Here's where I worry. We have just drank basically the equivalent of just ditch water, which is just tap water, but with a little bit extra, you know, a little bit of tadpole farts in it. And then all of a sudden this one, which is if we put this next to some IPAs with personality, or like a pale malty ale or something like that, or a stout or a red, we'd probably think this one was boring. So this is really difficult. So where this one is the one that has the most personality of the three, does that mean that it's a blow your socks off personality, or is it just the only one that's got anything? If this flicks the flavor meter just to a one, whereas, you know, a wee heavy and an imperial stout pops it to a 10 and 11, but this gives it a little flick of, oh, flavor, and you're like, no! And now suddenly we're kicking out, we're the judges kicking everyone out of our flavor competition.
You make a fair point. If we'd done them the other way around, would we necessarily, if we'd started with this, would we necessarily have been saying, wow, what an abundance of flavor we're getting from this cream ale we didn't expect to get? I don't know. A good point, but I tell you what, we're still comparing like for like. They're all three cream ales. Therefore, you can say straight off the bat that this one has plenty of flavor, plenty of body. It's got...
It's got some body to it, and I like it, but I think it's not...
Are you gonna mark it down for a cream ale because it has flavor?
And I hate that because it's my favorite of the three. But when you just say, this is a crushable cream ale, I'm like, no, this is a delicious pale ale. You know, don't tell me to crush this. This is so tasty and delicious. Force me to find the flavor and tell me how to drink this. Because if you tell me this is a crushable cream ale, I'm going to say, oh, you're going to have a hard time getting this down fast.
Can I say, if there's a crushable beer here, it's the first one.
Yes.
This is not, I'm not having many of these. I'm sorry. Even though it's by far the most flavorsome, it's got way more personality than either of the other two. I would not be having too many of these because I think I might, like we said, if I'm sitting around a Christmas fire, you know, with my big woolly hat on, and I've got my big double chocolate stout in front of me, and I'm going to sup on this. I'm not having 10 of them, Ross.
No, it's true.
They might be full of flavor, but my God, I'm not going to crush them. I'm not saying this is in that levels of flavor and body, but there's way more to this than there is to the first one we had. The first one, like you, I've pointedly said, is a crushable ale. And therefore, this ain't crushable.
No.
This one is far too nice to be throwing abundance of them back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I am finding myself taking mouthfuls of this one and swirling it and enjoying it. Whereas the Tatamagush Cream Ale, I had a hard time not finishing it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if we're not having a crush the cream ale competition, if it was not, like, I would have been through 100 shots by now already if we were doing this. I think I would be having like one in between everything and we would get through the cream ale. If when the server comes around and says, "Will you have another?" I would look at my Tatamagush Cream Ale and say, "How many have I had?" And they could say a number between 6 and 12, and I'd believe them. Say, right, yes, I have had that many. Yes, that's how many I've had. But for the kilometer zero from Heritage, will you have another one? Yes, I will have another one of those. I might probably stop after two.
Me too.
But I'll have another. And sadly, the Horton Ridge, I don't think I'd have another. I think I'd stop at that and wonder what else is going on. But it's also possible. There's a mild possibility that we've held on to this one too long. It might be slightly past its prime, is my only worry. But that's
how long have we?
Did
you pick up a whole bunch of those when you went to Horton Ridge? Not a bunch of particular brews, but you might have brought back 6 different beers from Horton Ridge.
They're nearby, so I do go in every now and then, and I've been in a few times with my buddy Ian Smith down in Tapestry Beer Bar, 833 Sackville Drive. But
yep, that one.
I think because this is on the new can, they're old, they're previous cans. This is on a nice, you know, flash can. Their old ones just had stickers on them, so we're past the sticker stage, and someone's gonna tell me they've been off stickers for 2.5 years, and I'll feel increasingly old.
I don't see a date on it. I'm really looking at the can.
No, it's not there.
No, I'm being Inspector Granger here, but I don't.
But
see
it is. It is not on currently on tap, so I think it's been away for maybe a little. Oh, I was gonna get very excited that the alt beer was on tap, but that's on tap at Horton Ridge. So the Horton Ridge right now has got Rise Up. They've got their Malt House. They've got their Bar Dog Stout. Their Ridge Light. Horton Here's a Brew. Al's Away. I think I tried that one. Sunshine. Oh, the citrusy, mildly hoppy. The Sunshine IPA. 6.9 IPA. Well, if we do get to talk to Steve, I think we'll hopefully talk about the Ridgefest one, because he was very busy with Ridgefest. And then, they're closer to home. They did a collaboration with Bay Fundy Brewing on a double IPA. Sorry, I'm talking too much about Horton Ridge all of a sudden. I'm going back, and I'm trying the Horton Ridge, and again, not my favorite.
Oh, Horton Ridge, that's the second one.
Mm.
Yep, I'm back there. If I can fight the fruit flies off, there are lots of fruit flies.
That one's got an interesting fruity flavor to it. And like a salt, and a saltiness. I'm still sticking to the interesting saltiness on that one.
You know what I have to do right now? Because the third one is so flavorsome, I'm going to have to take a big old swig of water.
Oh, that's
because
good
it's not fair. Yeah.
Do you know what? Oh, this... Oh, the Tatamagoche Cream Ale is a palate cleanser. It's so easy. It's so easy. There's just nothing... Oh, man, there's nothing to it.
Yeah, but it's... Ross, I kind of like it.
I do too. And for a nice light
cream... Off the back, coming off the back of the really flavor-heavy... heritage one, it's actually really nice. It's
when you I'm said fine. It reminds you of a shandy, like the body of a shandy. Yeah. It is a fruitless shandy, and it's still kind of good. If you don't like any of those zappadoodle citrusy and lime flavors in a shandy, then you should have a go with this cream ale that we've got.
And it tasted of something. Weirdly, I wasn't expecting it to, because off the back of that flavor fest we just had, I was expecting that to be like that, like fizzy water you were talking about, but it didn't. There was something going on there.
It's still there.
Are you mixing? Are you just sort of bobbing between three of them?
I finished the Horton Ridge first because it was my least favorite, and then I had the last few mouthfuls of the Tatamagoche Cream Ale because it's difficult not to. And now I am slowly sipping and enjoying this Kilometer Zero. These feel like three different styles, even. Well, how many flies do you have in there?
Two. I've got two. Fruit flies aren't bad for you, are they?
I drunk them? Fruit. They're fruit. Huh? Fruit is fine. Fruit is fine.
Okay, I'm drinking fruit flies now.
Was mostly kidding.
I only got one. I left the other one in the bottom. He's swimming around in the glass. I say he. I can't tell whether it's male or female from this angle. The other one came back. Good.
Wait. What do you mean came back? Like from your mouth?
I didn't quite drink it. It clung onto the back of my tongue. Good. That was fun. And still some of the heritage left.
Would you like to know the key differences to distinguish male and female fruit flies?
I've been waiting this long to find this out.
The females their abdomens are pointier and they have stripes on them. So did either of those fruit flies have stripes on their abdomen? Did you notice?
Are you bullshitting me, or did you just happen to know that? You read that straight from the screen.
I looked that up. I went on.
You
looked
that up. Okay. Is it AI or is it actually like?
This is the AI overview. But
yeah.
Here we go. I'll go over to WikiHow. Fruit flies, known scientifically. Did you get your scientifics out? I got an A in scientifics when I was in school. Drosophila melanogaster.
Oh, yeah.
They are often blah, blah, blah. In order to observe, you need to be able to mate the flies mating as early as possible. Oh, my God. What?
This is so educational, this show. Are we talking about the mating cycle of a fruit fly?
We are a bit. The male flies have smaller abdomens. They're darker at the back, and they have less stripes. What stripes? They always just look like tiny little raisins to me. What?
That one tasted stripy.
You didn't eat it. You spat it back out. You've already let loose on your...
I can still taste it. It's not in my stomach. I can still taste it. This... I mean, I've tasted many things and then spat them out, believe me.
This heritage one is so tasty. I love it. But I think it's got too much personality for a cream ale, but I can't mark it too low, so I got to go 8.5. 8.5 for heritage as a cream ale, because it does taste better as a cream ale than the Ridge. Not as good as the Tatamagoche one.
Like it. Yes, I know. Isn't it weird to be saying this one has more flavor than the other two? I prefer this one, so I'm going to mark it down because it's because cream ales don't call for flavor.
This is journalistic integrity in action. You're watching it live.
I actually, I'm really pleased because when last night when you said, when I actually messaged you and said, okay, what have we got, man? It's almost Wednesday. And you sent me five different genres of beer, of which we have all the two or three of each. And the temptation to immediately say, oh, double IPAs, give me the double IPAs, yep, was almost too much for me. But I thought, no, hang on, stop. Whoa. Rein it in, Grange. There are a bunch of other styles here that I haven't looked at for a while. And I thought, let's go for the cream ales. Not because I wanted to try cream ales, just because I thought, come on, look, let's give some love to some other genres of beer, even though I might not like them very much. And these were better than I thought they would be.
Agreed. All three. Good. Were yeah, there any cream ales in the United Kingdom while you visited?
There'd be Ross at any one time, so I'm led to believe. I read this on the Camera for Real Ale magazines down the years in the UK. But at any one time in the UK, there are approximately 400 different real or craft ales being brewed by all the various craft ale brewing establishments in the UK.
I'm not trying to get you to tell me what everyone was making. Did you personally see, or
what I was coming to was, okay, there, I never saw a cream ale. But I only went into maybe 300 pubs in the No, that's not fair. What I wasn't doing was searching out cream ales. I was specifically, when I went into a pub, wherever I was, in Yorkshire or Scotland or in Lincolnshire or in Northern Ireland. I didn't go into one in Northern Ireland, by the way. Yeah, actually, yes, I did. I went to a couple of restaurants with my family. I would always ask them, what do you have on draft? I would go up and I would have a look at what they had. And, you know, you would probably do exactly the same. But I wasn't looking for a cream ale. So therefore, even if I saw the word cream ale, it wasn't even going in, because I thought, I'm either going to want a stout or an IPA. Mm. Everything else was going to be of little interest to me. Because, well, for that reason alone, I'm not going to go into a place that's selling six or eight craft brews and say, can I have your cream stout, please? Because why would I do that? Yeah. Why would I?
You've got a pilsner. Is it a raspberry pilsner? No. Is it a sign of the times that you don't go in and ask for the 60 shilling or the 70 shilling anymore? I mean, is it now kind of it's upgraded now to, will sir have the India pale ale, or will sir have the IPA, or will you have the brown ale, or will you have the stout, or?
It is very much a sign of the times, because I would have gone for the maltiest, heaviest, darkest beer that I could have found before, and that's no longer the case. I'm not going to say I'm going to steer clear of them. I'm a changed man, Ross. I am a changed man. IPAs took forever to get to me, but now I don't want to, like we've already established, I don't want to have my head blown off with hops.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for that, but I'm looking for a good, solid, hazy, East Coast style, fruity, juicy IPA. Mm. They do it for me. They really, really do it for me. But don't get me wrong, I still had a few good old-fashioned British bitters while I was there, because they are where I grew up, and I still get an awful lot of satisfaction about just sitting there. I rock up the first pub I come to when I was in the UK. I went straight and I thought, yeah, great, I'm gonna have a London Pride, a Fuller's London Pride. I cut my teeth on beer like that. I'm not gonna throw them away because they're still really yummy, but I do have now a penchant for this East Coast style IPA, which is undeniable, and it's nice to have an option, right? It's nice to have options.
There's one right now, a collaboration between Horton Ridge Annapolis Brewing and Lund's Mill Oh my god, it's a Kolsch? Something called The Mast and Mill. And I've had that down at Tapestry Beer Bar at 833 Sackville Drive. And it is a 4.4, nice low, you know, sessionable kind of thing. But it's like a British 4.4% pub ale. Just this beautiful, smooth malt. And that's what the Kilometre does remind me of, is... Oh, that flavor, despite the fact that it's a 5.4, but that's the one that really it's kind of all over, just in the wrong kind of description. Now, in going through the pictures that I did send you, yes, we've got some double IPAs. You didn't have them all, but I do have the other one here for you. Then there was a couple of Kolsches, and then there were several German lagers, and then session IPAs. And three cream ales. What I didn't send you.
Go on. Out.
We do have a couple of hazy IPAs in there right now.
Okay. I'm off next week. And let's get it.
And I forgot to send them to you. That's okay, because I might need to have some more sours next week. I feel ridiculous saying this. There's a new sour at my local sour establishment down the road where I keep talking. I go in and talk to, I call him Young Matt, because there were two Matts at one point. Young Matt at New Bay of Fundy Brewing. And he, and I went in to talk to him, and this was when he explained to me three facts that made me, sad to my soul. But I also realized that this is probably why I don't live down there at Bay of Fundy Brewing. Now, I love what's going on. And they've got the IPA on there right now. I forget what the name of the... Because they've changed it over from Wafers to Bay of Fundy. They all have different things. And I've been drinking the IPA at my jam session. And then I was talking to him, and he said, yeah, we're finally not going to have the stout on for the summer. That's going to be a winter brew. And I went, oh, you're killing me.
I remember you saying that.
You're killing me. And then he said, well, and he said, but I want to get into seasonal sours. And I went, And he said, because I much prefer sours to dark beer. And I went, oh, so this is all the information that I'm getting from. And he said, so our current one, the spring one, was a cranberry sour. And to his credit, it was actually really good. I have had more than one cranberry sour. Mostly because I buy them for my wife and she doesn't finish them. But the new
one...
They
may give me a yeast infection if I drink cranberry sour.
I don't think they should call it... Yeah, maybe we'll suggest that one for the name of the one for the fall sour. Yeah, it'll be the yeast infection sour. The summer one, and they just announced this online a few weeks ago, and it is a kelp goes. Kelp sour. Yes! And my mind went, what... What is wrong with? Because he was talking about making a seasonal sour with the fruit of the season, and I'm like, dude, 50 feet away, you've got 9 strawberry fields of U-picks and everyone lining up to go to it, and you went, no, kelp.
Well, you've got to admire thinking outside the box,
and I do.
You really do.
And I tried it, and it's a salty sour, and
sour.
Regardless, if you're out next week, I might be trying the salty sour with.
I would totally try that, because it's a local craft brewing place, and I'm all about that. I really am. Although, if I were to do that, I would only have to balance that with by nipping next door and going to have a Brig and Bark double IPA.
Hopefully the IPA is going to be back on. What did I have? I think I just had. They had a pale ale, and I was drinking the pale ale this past week at the July jam session, which went. Whoa, it was so good. I need to talk to people about doing the jam session, because I believe I'm not able to go to the August one. So I'll talk to either yourself or Timothy.
Speak to me, and after this, I need to speak to you also about this weekend. About Brittany's show, so unless you want to mention that, because obviously I'm going to speak to you about it. Often.
If you're listening to us live and you have not been to the Quick as a Wink production of Birthday Candles, please go do that. It is playing from July 11th through to July 19th, 2025. if this has not hit the airwaves before then, that's pretty much on me, and I am mostly just a disappointment in my wife's life for more reasons than one.
That's not where I wanted that to go.
We'll get there. Regardless. What was your final score on this delightful Heritage Brewing?
I'm just finishing it. I'm not going to do what you do. I'm not going to. I can't. I don't feel it's fair. Or the. I prefer it to the other two. But I don't want to drink as much of that as I do of either of the other two, especially Gapray Cream Ale by Tademagouche Brewing. For a beer, I'm going to give it a standalone beer score of 8.5.
Okay.
And I'm out of here.
And that always gives me a laugh because we marked it the same. It's the same numbers, completely different score, regardless. It's a couple minutes after 9, but thank you for swinging in and joining us tonight. Thank you to Ian, and I'm glad he's back from his vacation, so we can finally have a good little chat over some of these. And thank you to Tademagouche Brewing, Horton Ridge, and Heritage Brewing Company for making the beers that we did try tonight. We are here live every Wednesday on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdry, 8 to 9 p.m. for the live show. And then check the YouTube page for some of the other excerpts. We're also on TikTok, Instagram, kind of Facebook. Oh, yeah, we got a Facebook page. That's right. Oh, my God. And if you want to go straight, you can find the podcast at all the podcasty places, or you can go straight to the source at drinkns.unsupervised.beer. But thank you for joining us tonight, and we will see you again next week. Good night.